Thank you very much. We are back from our break.
You guys are awfully picky tonight.
I just think we should put all information.
I know they're a rough group. It's the moon.
It's a rough group tonight. I have a headache.
The moon. Okay, thank you, everybody.
Thank you for warming them up.
Thank you, thank you.
Good luck.
Thank you.
So we can't table this till January?
No. Okay, item number 10, information report. State assessment 2012 and the SBAC. I turn this over to Ms. Kaplan again.
We wanted to, tonight obviously we focused on the action plans, but we also wanted to share with you what is happening in the state of California in terms of assessment and the challenges and implications it has. But most importantly, we wanted you to be able to see some of the test items. So when we're talking about rigor and we're talking about the Common Core, that you can put it into the context of kinds of questions and the kinds of ways students are going to need to use technology to answer those questions.
Okay, thank you.
Well, good evening. Good evening, everybody.
Good evening, Ms. Hawkins.
Last time we were together, AB 484 was on again, off again, on again, off again. And when we talked about this, but it's on. It was voted into law on October 2nd. It basically eliminates our STAR system, calls for a transition system that we're going to have in the CalMAP. I think the most interesting part of that legislation is the fact that it prohibits the comparison of the CalMAP results from SBAC with the existing STAR CST results. And I think that's important for everybody, our community, for our teachers, for our students, for our parents to understand, is that those two assessments are really assessing apples and oranges. And so it's nice that it's in the law that we won't try to compare those two pieces together. And that takes effect in January, and so we could have held off the report till then, but we're going to go forward with talking about the CalMAP piece. Because there's a lot of preparation and a lot of changes that happen with this process. As I said to you before, it was on again, off again, on again, off again. Now we're moving forward with it being on again, but it is the field test that we're looking at. And as we talk about it in the office, it's the test to test the test, if that makes sense. So in the spring, as a result of AB 484, we will provide the pilot test or the field test to the students in grades 3 through 8 and 11 in either language arts or math. We do not know at this time which assessments students will take, whether the whole district will take language arts or the whole district will take math or certain classes or certain grade levels. We're waiting to hear all of that information from the CDE. But as of right now, we know that we will be doing that, and they will take one or the other and will participate in that. So we're preparing for what that will look like come the spring when we take computer-generated assessments for the first time. The Smarter Balance Assessment Consortium, or SBAC, as you'll hear over and over again, is basically working with many states throughout the United States and developing the assessments that we will give. The big change for them is they're administered via computer, and they're computer adaptive. They also have lots of manipulatives and calculators tools available to the students. They adapt. The questions will adapt. They won't in the spring, so we won't get a chance to see how those adapt on the spring field test, but they will eventually be adaptive depending on the students' answers. They're 100% aligned to our Common Core state standards, but I think the biggest pieces are the differences in questions that we'll talk about tonight. The nice thing about the computer-aided assessment is it allows for us to have some accommodations for students, like text-to-speech accommodations, things like that. Haven't seen what they all look like, hoping to see some of those things on the pilot test, but again, building the plane while flying it, I'm excited that those pieces are out there and available to us. This sample page that you have in your packet is a sample of an item. It's a third grade math item, which really shows what are the pieces that students need to know how to do and teachers need to be comfortable with working with. When we talk about technology, our students right now are very comfortable with technology. They're all digital natives. Hand them a cell phone, hand them an iPad, and they sort of know or can click through what to do with it. In the case of the assessment, this sort of interface changes a little bit from the last time that we saw it in the last spring's test. But there are buttons and toggles and things that kids are not necessarily familiar with. Like you'll see the up at the upper left, the zoom in, zoom out, or the calculator feature that you can open up that changes the type of calculator that kids have depending on the level of assessment that they're given. You can see where it says the number 14, there are things like open tutorials or open notepads or mark item for review. They can do things like that with the assessment. They can click and save. They can pause the test. The end test button is something that's hit at the end, and the test will actually prompt the students to do that. The interesting piece in sort of playing around with the practice test is there are lots of things that are either drag and drop. There are things where kids have to include writing in boxes. The part I found interesting was there might be multiple response items that kids make, and in some cases they'll have a bubble that the kids click on and highlight to make their answer choice. And in other cases, there is no bubble. They just click on the sentence, and the letter A and B is there. Not quite sure yet why they have the two different formats within the same test, but it was challenging for us to figure out because there weren't directions for each question on that. So I'm hoping during the field test they figure those things out. That's why it's going to be really important for us to take the field test, and that's why pages like this are important for our teachers to see, for our students to see in advance, in knowing how to navigate through this system. Your standard Google interface or your standard video game interface doesn't work like some of these pieces do, and we need to have our students be more familiar with that. In the Smarter Balanced Assessment, the major change from the CST assessments is you're going to see that there are selected response items, technology-enhanced items, constructed response items, and performance tasks. I think when you think of the assessment, when it's given live in 14-15, you want to think about it as the top three kinds of questions and then the bottom performance task, because there will be actually two assessments in both language arts and math. The selected response items will be unique for our students because those response items can include multiple right answers. So students may be given several different things to select through and choose more than one correct answer in this case. The technology enhanced items, Ms. Decker and I were just working with a practice test this morning, involve things like playing audio readings or playing video pieces that kids will watch to see as they go through and read the criteria or the questioning in the test and begin to answer the question. They'll need to depend on all of those pieces as they go through. And so we're looking at how do those pieces work. Also being able to drag and drop, click and hold, all of those different pieces. As part of Edgewood Middle School's Common Core review, they had a student who participated in the Common Core in the SBAC pilot last year, and she talked about the fact that there was some clicking in the math section where they had to create a graph and draw, and it was a platform that the kids weren't experienced with in the past, and so they made lots of clicks. They finally figured it out like they would with their iPad or anything else, but unfortunately, because it's an assessment, she had to go back and unclick once she figured out what was right, unclick all of the things that she used to sort of determine the right answer. So these field tests are really important for us, and it's nice that the state is giving us permission to try this and to work through this, because I think there'll be a lot of things that we'll learn. The performance tasks will not be part of the spring assessment that we do. Those will be taken over, I'm going to say at this point, over multiple periods, and we'll talk about those in a minute. When you look at the next few slides, these are just sample items of the kinds of things kids would be asked to do. So in this case, it's a fourth grade item, and what you can see is I've highlighted a little bit larger for you to see the phrases that the kids would have to look at. They would have to click on a couple of those sentences and determine which two phrases help them understand the meaning of the word scared. Any of the phrases, however, within that paragraph can be clicked on in order for them to answer this question, and that's a different way of looking at it, but that's back to what Ms. Kaplan described earlier when we looked at this the school's action plans, is that idea of text-dependent questions. No longer is it going to be, do I know the word scarred just off the top of my head, but I can answer it based on the text that I see. In this particular one, we have a sixth grade piece, and basically you see that text-dependent question piece come out, but now you can see the format of the question is very different. In this case, kids are going to have to type into the box below what their position is, but not what their position is based on their own philosophy, but what their position is based on the information that they find in the text and that they can use to support their answer within the text. the interesting piece about this one is, again, those boxes, they don't necessarily scroll or have notes that they scroll. And if you have electronic scoring with students writing, hitting enter and starting a new line because you came to the end of the box creates a new paragraph. And so the scoring tool can think of it differently. So we're going to have to teach our kids how to sort of word process in a way that they may not have been exposed to in the past. Because those boxes scroll, so they allow the text to get longer, but some kids don't know that at first, and so they just fill up the box and stop. Or they try to make larger font so that the words fill the box because they know they're supposed to fill the box, but the words are little when they type it in. So there's lots of different things that they do that we're working on teaching them to do and looking for sample pieces to teach them to do that. Again, here, this is an 11th grade piece, and you can see how they're working through with different sentences in paragraph of the paragraph that they don't find to be appropriate, and then to explain why. So they're using a combination of the clicking technology-enhanced piece as well as the written piece. With our math questions, this is a 4th grade sample, and you can see it has the it's not really an online manipulative. It is actually a manipulative piece that the students would use to drag and create the angles. Many of these items are scored with multiple points for doing different things and a higher level of points depending on how many elements they get correct, and that's a new piece. But they would actually drag and drop the letters and the numbers into the boxes in order to answer this particular question. Here's another math question in 8th grade, and in this one they have to explain their answer based on their choice. It has to make both mathematical and logical sense, I guess. And then here's a sample of an 11th grade one. Again, it has that same drag and drop feature into the boxes. It was interesting, we were having a conversation. Some of them look a little bit like kindergarten cut and paste that you may have seen where they match the letters and things, but you can see this is fairly high level mathematics in 11th grade. With the performance tasks, so that's sort of the what you might have think is a multiple choice section of the test in the past. Now we're going to have this performance task piece, and in that, the students will be integrating the skills. So they'll be asked to look at a variety of pieces of text, possibly participate in an in-class activity. We've heard that it will be over multiple days that they will take this test, but most recently when I was reading the website, and again it changes a lot, they talk about the interactive piece in the classroom being 15 to 30 minutes. I don't know if that interactive piece then would require multiple days for the students to take the test. They're not going to field test it this spring, so we're just going based on what we know. But they'll use charts and graphs to analyze certain situations. So the best one that I can give you an example of is the one that I saw last spring where the fourth grader had to take the four different articles related to dental hygiene and going to the dentist and write a friendly letter to their friend convincing them why they shouldn't be afraid to go to the dentist for the first time. And in the friendly letter, it had to show evidence of those four different pieces about why they wouldn't be afraid to go to the dentist based on that. And one was about, you know, brushing your teeth, one was about the tooth in general, one was a log from, I think, a child who had gone to the dentist several times kind of thing. So very eclectic pieces. But within that is that technology skill of being able to click through multiple panes. So you're going to have multiple windows sort of pop up or a dual pane on the screen and be able to scroll back and forth through text. I don't know about you, but sometimes I need the paper in front of me to read those pieces of text. I find it difficult to read on the screen. So those will be challenges that we look at with our students. And so those will also be things that help drive the types of devices that we use for the assessment pieces. Challenges that we're looking at with this process is, I think Ms. Kaplan mentioned some of them, you know, do we have enough machines? Do we have the right kinds of headphones? Do we have appropriate infrastructure? Meaning, do we have the right kind of bandwidth for this? Are we going to have the right point-to-point and gigabits, as I was talking with Michael about it? And I think we're all on the right track with that. Are we going to have enough wireless access points that are powerful enough to allow us to, if we need to, have those computer on wheels machines so that students can access in a classroom rather than a computer lab so that we're not taking all of our instructional time to cycle through to get through these assessments, which will take somewhere for the language arts piece about 3 to 4 hours per assessment. So you're looking at a long time for our 3rd through 8th graders to get through those tests in the 10 to 12 week period. I think back to the requisite knowledge for our students and for our teachers. We don't know school like this. We've not assessed like this. We all appreciate the high-stakes nature of these tests and the accountability factor here. So having these, we want to make sure our teachers are prepared. And so that's one of the first things that we're looking at with the technology team is how do we help teachers be prepared for the pilot? How do we do trainings at the school site? How do we have those afternoon Wednesdays have people available to have this online? How are we getting those practice tests out and available to staff? Mr. Willingham and I talked earlier today about making sure that the secured browser so that the practice assessments can be accessed by teachers is downloaded in the next couple of weeks and that we get that out there so teachers can experience what you saw as a static page as a live test and actually take it. I was kind of disappointed I had to go through the hand scoring guide, though, to look at the answers that Ms. Decker and I chose quickly to figure out which questions we were working on. But anyway, it's coming along and things are changing rapidly. I think anticipating all the glitches, we've never done anything like this before. The state's never done anything like this before. I love to believe that all of the best intentions, but I think whenever you do anything with technology, planning is great, but those glitches come up. And so we're planning for that with our scheduling. We're looking to make sure that we have enough computer support staff and staff that understand that. And then we're going to kind of hold on and hope that it goes very, very well. I would think that, you know, this will be the first of a few sample times that the state works through some things. And then that piece, is the SBAC site prepared for the number of students to take the test at the same time? I think everybody's going to be anxious for this test. I think they're all going to want to get started as soon as they possibly can. I just envision, you know, Black Friday when everybody's trying to buy something at Best Buy or Target all at the same time. What's going to happen with that site? And so we need to help everybody be, you know, prepared for that and also be calm with it. It is a pilot piece. We're not going to have that data. We need to see how we'll get through. And then the whole purpose of it is for them to be able to give us advice on what's the best approach for this. I think for us, our preparation is we have inventoried our school sites and compared it to the most current SBAC information based on the assessment windows for the numbers of machines. We may need to purchase some additional machines at some of the sites. We want to make sure that we have adequate computer lab space, if you will, to get through classes of kids in a single sitting. We don't have that in a couple of our schools, and we're working on that. We're currently piloting some other solutions. Yes, we're working with our iPads. We have some existing notebooks. We also have desktops. But we most recently got two sample Chromebooks that we're looking at, and we're going to look at using a set of those because we feel like that would be a really good option, maybe even a better option for SBAC than the iPad because of the visual property we have with the screen of a Chromebook versus the visual property we have the screen of an iPad. So we're looking at all of those options. And again, I think until we've done the test at least once, it's sort of a guess as to what is the best one. And then what are people most comfortable with? What are the kids most comfortable with? The curriculum development team for technology is really examining all of the SBAC specifications. We will meet in early November again to sort of set up what are our, Mrs. Kaplan alluded to as setting up minimum criteria for teachers and for students. We're looking right now at not minimum criteria over the long haul, but what is in the short term? What is minimum criteria we need teachers to have to get through the spring assessment? And how can we help them get that before we start? And making sure that all of the teachers are at least that basic level. I think one of the luxuries we've had in past pilots is that we could have a lot of extra bodies in the room to support 32 kids logging on to an individual unique password that is 18 characters long. We've not done that before. You know, typically I think it's, you know, the school mascot and the numbers 1, 2, 3 is our password. So we need to be able to do that. That'll take some practice on the part of our students. That'll take some practice on the part of our teachers and for them to feel calm and comfortable and confident when they're in there managing that so everybody else is feeling the same way. And then also making sure that we can schedule the assessments across the school district without disrupting all of the instructional time because we are, you know, we are about teaching and learning, and the assessment is an important piece, but it's not the only piece. So we're looking at those pieces. And then we also are examining our infrastructure. I think that's a very important part for us, not only for the SBAC. I think one of the nice pieces about the Common Core is, you know, they set a marker and we move forward towards it. The SBAC is setting a bar we've never had before about the kind of technology that we have. I think for all teachers, we've known that there's technology. We all use it on our cell phones. We use it at home at varying levels. But I think having this is forcing that issue a little bit more. And so you're going to see more reluctant teachers or people who've never had a reason to try to use it in the past begin to use the technology. So we need to make sure that we're ready for that and take a look at how do we handle those pieces. Are we making the best choices for our infrastructure to be able to handle those? Are we making the best purchases that we know of so that in the long haul we don't have to go back and redo some things? So we're looking at those pieces too. All right, I'm ready.
All right.
Questions?
Thank you. Mr. Cox, any questions?
I can't figure out how much pizza I got to buy here.
They wanted me to play Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader, but I decided no.
I tried the eighth grader. I didn't get it. So but I don't remember. I don't have it.
Ms. Poulos.
For, you were going to be able to do the text-to-speech?
Yes.
What about
That's what they tell me.
What about speech-to-text?
I don't know. I'm looking at the current... pieces. I'm very fascinated how they're going to do the American Sign Language piece and the Braille piece, so I don't know.
And when will you know? Because if you're doing speech to text, those students are going to need individual rooms.
We'll see. We'll have to set those up. That was one of the things that we were talking about today, about the special accommodations and what we would do, because the special education students for those tests may need different browsers and different setups. We may need a very different setup for them. And that wasn't something we had initially considered in our scheduling. So we're looking into what that would look like. And maybe those students would definitely use the mobile devices and the way we schedule their testing would be different. But many of those students, we schedule their testing a little bit differently anyway. So I think we'll work with that with the specifications as they come out.
And then they were going to do the text to speech. But many of those programs are different. I've used three different programs that do text-to-speech, and you have to be very familiar with it to move rapidly. There's a learning curve on each and every one, and some are better than others. Are those students going to have the opportunity to use that particular program before the test?
The pilot tests are out there and the practice tests. I'm not as familiar with all of them. I haven't tried all the bells and whistles yet with them because they've just come out in the last couple months. We will try them and see. That's one of the reasons why I want them up right now for the teachers to have practice with, and then we'll look at how we can practice with them with the students. The hard part is they'll be the same test over and over again, so we don't want to give them the experience that it's that. The other hard part is, like I just described with the multiple answers, on three questions associated with one piece of text, they had three different ways that multiple choice answers were chosen, not three different kinds of answers. So to predict that the live test will look exactly like the practice test is going to be very difficult. That's why I'm glad that they're not scoring it, and I'm hoping they'll give us sort of that grace period even in the first year when they do, because it will change from this spring to the next time that we do it, and how do we prepare for those things?
When I was at Edgewood's back to school night, which was much different than because it was smaller, I was able to get more of that. Several of the teachers were talking about the computer problems they were having at the beginning of school, and they and also are at the same thing at the elementary, that they had numerous computer problems. But they said even at the high school, they said even when there wasn't computer problems, there was slow uptime with so many students using it. It took maybe 5 minutes to boot the computer and get everything up you needed. And then sometimes because so many students were using it, it was very slow loading anything. So how is that with all the 11th graders taking a test going to affect the other students? Because they're all the 11th graders are using data, right? Other students are going to still be using data, I'm assuming.
I don't know, because we've not done that. I do know that Dr. Coughlin and I are working with the IT department. We're making a recommendation tonight about an audit to see what we have, that we make sure we have the infrastructure that we need as best we know. Some of that can be machine challenges. Some of that can be the wiring or the bandwidth connections. I know Mr. Willingham is currently in the process of putting in a better bandwidth so that we have better connections between the schools to the district office to help speed up that piece. I don't know enough about which machines they were on. Was that also contributing to it? Was it the kind of program that they were looking at? There are many different factors, and so those are pieces we have to look at.
The computer on wheels.
Yeah.
I don't know what other program, what other classrooms have. I know the seniors have their tablets or whatever.
Right. One of the challenges with mobile devices like that is making sure that they get the updates without the wireless capability available. If they're not blue corded in, they don't get the same updates. And so sometimes if they don't have the updates over time, it slows them way down. So those are some of the things that we're looking at now that we know we're going to have more of that technology. How do we deal with that? Because if you have a school site with three or four cows on on the campus, they don't, while they're in the cart, they don't connect to a blue cord. If you don't have a lot of wireless access and they're not turned on regularly, then they don't update the way that they're supposed to. If we don't have the infrastructure to update them and push through, or the bandwidth to update and push it through. So there's a lot of working pieces, unfortunately, that are behind the scenes that when you see them in the budget, you don't get the iPad in your hand. You just sort of see it and it happens and you don't appreciate it till it's not working. So we're working on those pieces to make sure that we don't have those, because ultimately while we're preparing for the test, we really are preparing for the instruction and trying to make teachers comfortable enough with technology that they'll use it in the everyday classroom. So stopping and preparing for a once a year assessment won't be so necessary. So
our fourth graders, our current fourth graders.
Yes.
Will they be looking at multiple tests and having to scroll multiple?
Yes.
And how many of our fourth graders have had the opportunity to do that on a regular basis in class now?
Probably not as many as we would like. But we're working towards that and getting those machines and devices out there, and currently looking for software and pieces that would allow us to do that. Having online texts is a challenge. The curriculum development team for technology is going to begin to look at some open source documents. That brings other curricular adoption challenges with it. So we're looking for those pieces. We're also looking for a writing piece that will allow students to write and give them feedback, where we could actually load multiple texts. They wouldn't have an interactive quality, but they would be a PDF file, so you could open multiple PDF files and see multiple pieces of text. I don't know that we can purchase anything yet that looks exactly like SBAC, so it's going to be more about teaching computer skills than giving them the same interface, I guess. And until recently, we haven't always needed to do that. So I think that's going to, again, be a huge change. And you see that in the standards, and then you see that in the need for the assessments. So I think that's going to help some of those teachers that have been more reluctant to participate.
Well, I know going to college late in life and having to compete with people who grew up with computers was very difficult, mm-hmm. because they could do that. And I was much more comfortable with a hard copy. Now, our students don't have that, but if they've never had the opportunity to do that, I know there was a real learning curve for them.
Yeah.
And never was I going to be as comfortable as the other students.
Right.
But they grew up with that. And I don't see our students in our elementary school doing that on a regular basis.
No, because we don't have any resources. There weren't current resources for that. That's more of a Windows sort of browsing search kind of thing that you would do, having those multiple windows open. Kids don't always, especially at young ages, use technology in that way. They use it for a singular purpose, which is they're young children, so that's what they're supposed to be doing. I think it's our job with our technology standards to offer them those opportunities to build our computer labs, to have things in the library, to teach their researching skills. And what we've been talking about a lot is when we set those parameters for students and for teachers, not to set them so that they are device-dependent, app-dependent, platform dependent, but they are really searchable skills. So instead of teaching students how to find a particular piece of information on the internet, it's how to narrow it down, then how to evaluate through which are good search engines to use, which aren't, which how refining that search criteria will give you different
sets of search pieces, why certain pieces come up more often. Those are all computer literacy skills that we've all learned, like you said, through experience, but we need to teach our students those.
Well, and we really weren't doing that until high school.
Right, but we need to now.
Right. So, and we had long discussions about what kind of expertise the people in the media center needed to be able to teach that to our high school students. Mm-hmm. And we've never had that discussion about how do we teach those skills to our fourth grader. But now we do.
Yep.
Are they time tests?
They are. I don't believe they're going to be rigidly timed, where, you know, the minutes shut off, but they do have a time frame.
So if they're not computer literate, then that could really hurt them.
It could if they decide to make them rigidly timed. I don't think they are going to at the beginning.
Okay. And you mean
the pilot test might, but the actual live test, I believe there'll be a little bit more latitude with some of that.
Because it might not be that they may know the mm-hmm. information, but being able to scroll through those or figure out how to drag or
yep.
how to click, that might.
I think we'll have to consider that when we see the results as well.
But we won't get results.
No, but I mean when we do the initial, yeah, the baseline test, I think we're going to have to consider some of those things, which were things we considered, as Ms. Kaplan said, 16 years ago when we first took the CST. We all considered how different it was and how we weren't used to giving standardized tests in that manner, with those kinds of time limits, with that sort of rigor, at that sort of level. Now it's like this is just the business we do. So I think we'll have to have that same sort of moment in time. Grace, give ourselves grace in that one.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Mr. Spence.
Yeah, I only had just one comment, and that is this exercise that you have in here where they have to take the unnecessary sentences out.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I think that'd be great for all our administrators, and I want the rubric so I can use that for my staff. I think it'd be great. That's great training.
The rubric's online.
Ms. Shoemaker, thank you very much. This was a very informative presentation. Thanks for taking us along and teaching us as you're learning. So thank you.
I'd like you all to take the test and hand it in to us and we'll grade it.
There you go. There you go. The state's going to work on that. Okay, item number 18. Anybody have any questions? Mr. Cox, Ms. Poulos, Mr. Spence?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah, there's 6 hours that we're going to give for the skill set gap analysis.
I'm sorry, there's six.
Skill set gap analysis.
Right.
Between skills our staff has and the skills I guess we would want them to have.
One of the things.
And what, I guess, if they don't have it?
Well, one of the things we're looking at is we know that technology and computers, I mean, it's going to be growing in the next few years. We need to make sure that our staff is trained to work on those. If there's a certain training that we need to get them, that's one thing. Are we going to go to more techs out in the field, or are we going to go more to a help desk where we push things out? Is because if you know, we double this number of computers we have out there, it's going to be difficult to get to all of them. So we're looking at what's the skill set of the people in IT. Is there some training that we need to get them? If we're going to be in a position, and as technology grows, we may need to add to the IT department, do we need to look for someone with a specific skill set?
Just asking.
Thank you, Ms. Shoemaker.
Which superintendent was it? That's what
did we look for possibly cheaper alternatives? Did we look at their project plan? Because I see about 50 hours worth of time to get all of the information, at like research costs and alternatives, determine recommendations, and then yet there's still another 16 hours to develop a report. How, when you have, you know, items 4 through 10, that is all the information that you're assessing for 50 hours worth of time, do you still need 16 hours to put a report together?
So there's a question, how did we come across this company?
This company.
Okay.
You reviewed Is there a way that this could be done for less? Is there a way we could do more on our side to help obtain information for you? Because this is $22,000 of consultant time.
Both Ms. Hawkins and myself had worked with an IT director who was affiliated with this, no longer is affiliated with him, moved around. And so I called that IT director, and he made the recommendation for this company. Ms. Hawkins, Mr. Willingham, and myself met with him for over 2 hours and talked about what our needs were, the needs of the district, what he could provide. He presented three proposals, a very low-end proposal, one that was very high-end, and this was we did kind of negotiate, and we don't need that, but we need this. We understand that. So there was some negotiation that took place. No.
Who may have more experience, better experience, staff with better experience?
This company has worked with school districts, they've worked with cities, and working with school districts? Well, I think when we're moving forward with the needs of a school district and familiar with ARES and the SBAC, it is important so they understand the type of infrastructure that school districts have, because it can be different.
It can be different, but also when you get bogged down in pure bureaucracy, sometimes you lose sight of streamlining and other alternatives that could be used in a school district setting that are maybe used in a business setting, but they think, oh, because we've done 20 school districts, we're going to follow this plan, so you're not necessarily looking for different alternatives. You're just looking for what you know works for a school district when there could be something.
One of the things I liked about this company is they don't sell a product. They don't say you need to buy this server or you need to buy this computer. It's purely an evaluation, and so they're not pushing any products.
Okay, thank you. Do we have a, who will move this? Okay, then I'll go ahead and second it. Okay. all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed?
No.
Okay. It has been moved by Steve Cox and seconded by Eileen Miranda Jimenez to approve and authorize staff to contract with Client First Technology Consulting to review the district's network infrastructure and provide recommendations for future system development and infrastructure-related projects. And it passed 4-1 with Ms. Shoemaker voting no. Okay, any Board of Education discussion? Okay. Dates to remember, November 5th, Election Day. Please make sure everybody gets out and votes. November 11th, Veterans Day holiday. Schools in the district office is closed. November 12th, Board of Education meeting. Okay, there being no further business to come before the board, the regular meeting of October 22nd, 2013 is adjourned at 9:14 p.m. Thank you.